Hello and welcome to the Bring Back the Poetry podcast. My name is Jason Tomlinson. Thank you so much for joining me. Today, I cannot believe it. It is the last day of May. Therefore, it is our last feature this year for Cystic Fibrosis. If this is your first time listening on this podcast for this month, just know that May was the National Awareness Month for Cystic Fibrosis, and I have interviewed now 6 different people, couples, and more than one in some cases, but 6 different episodes have been Cystic Fibrosis interviews and features. And here this week, I actually did 2. Earlier on Wednesday, I featured the McBee family. Dane McBee is a young man with cystic fibrosis, and I interviewed his whole family. Today's episode, as you see, is a feature for the Zimmermans. Doug and Diane Zimmerman are my friends here in Hendersonville, Tennessee, and they have 4 boys, which, as you know, that's my background. I have 3 brothers, and so they're special. The Zimmermans are special to my heart for at least that reason, but more reasons than that, of course. Doug and Diane have 4 boys, and their first son and their 4th son, Kurt and Jack, respectively, have cystic fibrosis. So I was able to interview them earlier this week, and we'll get to that interview in just a second. But before we do, I wanted to go ahead and read this poem to you. This was written, actually finished it minutes ago. And so it's called Honestly Feeling, a tribute to the Zimmermans. The temptation to minimize these mountains is very real. Facing them honestly seems like too much to feel, and someone else is always facing more, so we justify. We turn away a robust defense and exchange it for a comfortable lie. And I get it. Oh, I get it so much. I get how attractive numbness is compared to the reality of touch. When what we feel is the last thing we would ever ask for. When what we feel leaves us raw and broken on the floor. But sometimes we felt what we felt, and we were rewarded. And the more this was the case, the more the truth was reported. We realized that we could be honest and not be so self-shielded. And even in that, we discovered blessings that were yielded. Because even though we didn't need these hard times to love each other well, it was shaped nevertheless. And in the end, we can tell that we were surrounded by people on every side. We were never alone, so hope never died. And now, with a touch more honesty, we're ready for more. More mountains and challenges. We're ready for war. Good thing, too, because we have an army now. No, we're not perfect, and we don't always know how to do exactly what we're supposed to do, but hey, we do well. So glad you know our story. So glad we can tell. I cannot tell you how much I sincerely appreciate Doug and Diane Zimmerman for agreeing to this interview. To give you some background about how all this came about, as you know, I've been collecting all these stories and interviewing all these people, and so I brought up a prayer request for actually Rayshawn Moran. Keep praying for all these people that we have featured on the show this month. I was just thinking about her specifically, and brought her up at Life Group with my church one night, and somebody said, "Hey, have you talked with the Zimmermans?" And I said, "What? What are you talking?" Of course, I talk with them all, not all the time, but I talk with them some. And that's how I found out that the Zimmermans are a CF family as well. And it's really interesting because everybody that I have interviewed so far is, well, we're all believers, but nobody is from my church except for the Zimmermans. So it was really cool to come full circle and connect with somebody that I'm already that's already in my faith family. We're going to go ahead and cut on over to the interview with Doug and Diane. Please listen to the whole thing, and I think you will be blessed. Here we go. Doug and Diane Zimmerman, how you doing?
We're doing well.
Good, Jason.
Thank you guys so much for joining me today. This is an absolute honor and privilege to be with you guys today. Folks, let me explain to you something that has happened here. This is now our sixth cystic fibrosis story here on Bring Back the Poetry. And, you know, sometimes when you start something and the ball gets rolling, it becomes much larger than you originally anticipate. And that's my experience with not just poetry and podcasting, but life in general. And I'm sitting here with these impressive individuals, and yeah, Doug's rolling his eyes over here. They have four boys, and we're going to get to hear about their story in just a second, but I thank God that he has led me to the Zimmermans, and I'm very thrilled that we get to hear their story today. Now, you guys became parents in Pennsylvania, is that right?
That is right.
And when your oldest boy, Kurt, he was born back in 1988, everything at that time was normal. You didn't know anything was different. When did the signs come that there was something different?
Well, that's a pretty funny story. Probably Dan should tell that one, but it has something to do with looking up his nose.
Yeah.
He was on the top bunk of our bunk bed set, and at the time, I was 5 months pregnant with Jack, and we had Mark and Luke, and Kurt was on the bunk bed, and I could see right up his nostril, and there was something in his nostril that just looked so weird.
Yeah.
And being a mom, I was kind of looking at it and trying to touch it and see what it was. And
did it hurt to him?
Didn't hurt. It didn't seem to bother him at all. I just was very like, what is that, Kurt? And he's like, what? I don't know. So we went to the doctor to find out what this was, and saw a specialist, and he said there's two things I have to rule out when I see nasal polyps. That's what it was. And they're very common in older people, in adults with allergies. They grow pretty readily. And so he said, when I see a polyp in a six-year-old, then there's two things, chronic sinusitis, and the other one is cystic fibrosis.
Right.
But Kurt always had a nice, healthy weight on him, so the doctor was like, cystic fibrosis, but now he doesn't have that.
So what was discovered about the nasal polyps at that time?
It was just one of the symptoms of CF for him.
Right.
And so they did do the sweat test, the sodium chloride sweat test.
Okay.
And it came back positive CF.
So even though the doctor thought, there's no way it's CF, they still did the sweat test.
Right.
Okay. So at that time, he's 6 years old, and you're about to have your fourth baby. Did you get the other two boys tested at that time?
Not at that time. There was no genetic testing for carriers.
Okay. Wow. Okay. So when Jack was born, how soon was he tested?
They started doing newborn screening when Jack was born. We were in Colorado at that point.
Okay.
And it was on the battery of tests that they do at the newborn from the umbilical cord blood.
Gotcha. So you knew before he was born, or you knew right after he was born.
Except his test came back kind of in the gray area.
Really?
So had he not had a sibling with CF, I'm not sure what the next step would have been. They may have just rerun the blood test.
Yeah.
Or they may have just waited.
Gotcha.
But since he had a sibling, then they went ahead and did the sweat test.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So back in the mid-90s, what were the treatments like?
Well, you know, I don't think they started out with the machines. I remember having the little things that you would, like the rubber cups that you would have to pound by hand on their backs
right.
and stuff like that.
Right.
So it was actually a little more hands-on and more involved. And of course, they're younger, so we were more involved. It's been an evolution with the kids anyway at some point, getting them to take their responsibility for themselves, because eventually, you know, like our oldest, they're on their own. But the whole process was learning. We didn't know anything about cystic fibrosis. I'm sure I've heard the term before then.
Yeah.
Didn't know. Our pediatrician was actually Diane's uncle, and the lab and people who did the test wouldn't talk to us on the phone. They wanted to be sure that our pediatrician, Diane's uncle, talked to us, and so that seemed a little weird. And then he did talk to us. He was like in a hushed tone, and you know, we're just kind of naive about the whole thing.
Yeah.
There's a story where we had probably for at that time a dated version of the World Book Encyclopedias. That was what we had back then, and that was pretty dire in terms of, you know, reading that. That's not, you know, probably how you want to be broken into information about cystic fibrosis.
Yeah, because the internet, that was like a year or two before the internet really exploded.
Yeah, so I'm trying to think. We had computer, but, you know, it was not like
it today. Is now.
Didn't have the information on it.
Right.
It was kind of interesting in a way. It was a little bit more, you know, the communication you had were bulletin boards and things like that. In some ways, it seemed more personal than it is now.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you did have something, you had some reason to connect with people, it was more specific in some ways.
But,
No, it wasn't a good source back then. At least we didn't know how to use it as one.
Sure. When it was discovered that both boys had cystic fibrosis, you know, now I know that in the CF community, you try to keep patients apart. Was there any kind of an effort in your family to kind of keep the two brothers separated? I mean, was there less hugging or less touch or anything like that?
No, not at all. I'm not sure how that works in families now, even now that they know the danger of the cross germ stuff.
Right.
But we were never told anything about that.
Yeah.
I just thought of a pretty hilarious story when Jack was pretty new still, like just some weeks old.
Right.
And once he had the diagnosis, he was probably about a month old when he got diagnosed, or 2 weeks. And they said, you know, because the sweat test, what they test is the amount of salt lost. And that was the thing they came up with in the 50s. A whole bunch of people died of dehydration in a Chicago heat wave.
Wow.
And it turned out they were people with cystic fibrosis, and that's how they determined or started really figuring out what the actual gene defect was.
Yeah.
And so the doctor said, oh, you need to give your son, your baby, about a quarter teaspoon or an eighth of a teaspoon of salt every day because he's losing the salt, and there's no salt in breast milk or, you know.
Sure.
And so for some reason, I took that to mean, right now, let's give him an eighth of a teaspoon of salt. So I got a baby spoonful of mashed bananas, put an eighth of a teaspoon of salt on it, and gave it to the guy. Uh-huh. You have never seen such a face. Oh, my gosh. I mean, my children, sometimes it's amazing they're still alive.
Absolutely.
That was one of our first, like, oh, wow, okay, that's not the way to do that. Let's try some new ways, but...
Yeah.
Spread it out over some time.
There you go.
Yeah.
Now, with Kurt and Jack's mutations, I've talked with quite a few people in this stage of the game that have cystic fibrosis and that have family members, and mostly, from my experience, it has been people it has attacked their lungs more. But mm-hmm. with your boys, does it hit their digestive system a little bit more, or is it an even split?
It seemed at first that when we found out their gene mutation, they have one copy of the Delta F508, which is the most common
right.
CF gene, and then they have R347P. And what we were told at the time and what seemed to be the case was that was more consistent with chronic sinusitis, with gastrointestinal slower motility of the bowel. Pancreatitis mm-hmm. was one of the big manifestations when they were young.
Yeah.
And at the time that the lung function or the lung impact was milder. And I think that's probably been the case, although now both of them have definitely, we've seen some lung impact as well.
Gotcha.
Thankfully, the pancreatitis seems to be less.
So good.
That's good.
Good. So Kurt found out he had cystic fibrosis when he was 6 years old, and your boys are all grown now.
Mm-hmm.
How did the transition go from having Kurt in your house under your care and you're helping him with all his meds and all his treatments? How did that transition go to him being the boss of his own care and his treatments and everything? Because I've got a lot of people listening to this that have that, you know, they're children and they're teenagers, so that transition hasn't come yet.
Right. Yeah.
How did that transition go? Was it hard, smooth, easy?
Well, as an observer, my wife, I'm sure it was a little harder, because I think, similar to lots of issues, when you send your son off to college, you wonder about how things are going, you know.
Right.
How are they doing on their own and stuff like this. But certainly this was more serious, more concerning. And, you know, I think also about that time was the laws that made it, you know, harder for parents to become involved with adult. So mom couldn't necessarily just ask questions of the doctor anymore without permission of the child and all like that. So, and then also he was all the way, he went to school in UCLA, so he was all the way across the country, right. So he was farther away. So a lot of praying that, you know, he was doing a good job and taking care of himself and all like that. But, you know, I think he really grew up and matured. And, you know, we just visited him a couple weeks ago down in Texas, and seems to be taking pretty good care of himself.
That's really
good. You know, he had a little recent issue where, you know, he was concerned about his health, and he's got that dichotomy that young people have, whether they have an illness or not, where, you know, the job, he doesn't want to jeopardize the job, doesn't know that he can take off time, but this is serious. And, you know, he struggled with that, and but he found a way to get it done, and he took care of that. And he was doing his treatments when we were down there. If he could convey a little more of that to Jack, who is just in that transition. He's
right.
You know, just completed his first year of college.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's doing a great job of it. I don't think he's doing treatments as much as he should be.
Gotcha.
Never was. We had that whole process, even when they're at home. You know, how much do you nag them? And, you know, at some point, you don't even notice that you've maybe not, you know, you have to allow them to do it. You can't just make them do it every single time. They have to kind of come to that decision. But Jack's in transition period, really. You know, and he actually came back from college in not too good shape. You know.
Because of?
Well, he needed, you know, annually, both of them, or pretty close to annually, they end up needing what we call a tune-up, where they do a couple weeks of intensive IV antibiotics. Jack's actually just completing that now, that series, since he got back from school. So, you know, that it was probably necessary for other reasons, but even when we were down visiting with Jack, to my oldest son, Kurt, Kurt did a treatment, and we we made Jack do a treatment, and before we made him do that, it was like I really couldn't stand to listen to him in the morning. It was pretty rough.
You listen to him cough.
You could tell from one treatment it was significantly better. And I just, Jack, you just got to realize how important this is for you.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Is Kurt able to speak to him in a way? Does he have more leverage?
Not really. It seems like every one of our boys, and probably everybody of that age, is like when they make up their mind that they're going to do or not do something.
That's all there is to it.
What it is. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think for us, in our experience, with them being mostly very healthy, especially lung-wise, up until high school, we weren't in a good habit of being proactive. And I think if I could tell anybody, out there, while your children are young, you got to think of their future self and help them think of their future self, because there is we're getting closer and closer to a cure.
Yeah.
The cure will not reverse damage. So getting those lungs as healthy as they can be is critical. Yeah. And so the more you can instill in your child that it's just as part of your day as brushing your teeth, or taking a shower. I think that would, if I could do things over, that would be the thing that I would just try to really normalize that. Yeah. And when they were younger, just say, this is what you do every day.
Yeah.
This is just the thing you do every day.
Not a big deal. Yeah.
And I think some of it for both of them, they've both said this, is if we pretend like we don't have it, if we don't talk about it, if we don't do treatments, then maybe it doesn't really exist. Mm. And I think that's a hard thing for a young person to really get their mind around, that it doesn't really change
them. I think for all of us, there's lots of times it's when things seem to be going well, it's nice to not to have to think about it too much, mm-hmm. And then every once in a while, like, you go to pick your son up from college and you go, oh, this is bad. It's really bad, and it doesn't, there's nothing positive about this. It's very serious. We just should do better.
Yeah, yeah. As you reflect on your experience, what would you like to say to yourself from 1995? When Kurt's diagnosis came back, if you could time travel the message back to yourself, what do you want to say to Doug and Diane from back then?
Well, certainly one of the things we just talked about, I would, experience this great teacher, and I certainly would like to do better. I would, because honestly, there's some great things happening right now, and as much as we could have kept them as absolutely healthy as possible.
So do your treatments.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's all of that. That's a very interesting question. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. There's lots of parts of that too. This is how our life has been. I don't know it any other way.
Right.
And so I can't even imagine it any other way. I certainly want my children to be healthy.
Yeah.
But it's certainly also shaped, I'm sure, a good bit how we are, terms of, we didn't need this to love and concern for one another, but it in some fashion shapes that as well. I can't imagine. I don't want a different Kurt or Jack.
Yeah.
But I do want them healthy. It's kind of a paradox.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every once in a while, I would say to Luke or Mark, "Do you wish you had something wrong too?" Because they're middle children and they're it's like, bummer, dude.
that's an interesting dynamic. Have you got chances to, obviously you've had some dialogue there with them about that. That's really good. What would you say to Diane from 1995?
I think part of what I would say to me was, that was a very, very challenging time for me, for that reason and a lot of others. So I think I checked out a lot. And so I would just kind of encourage me to be more open about how hard it was.
Yeah.
Because even though they were quite healthy at that time,
yeah.
It's just like if you hear the word cancer, if you hear, you know, you hear this and it's a thing and
yeah.
it's a big thing.
Yeah.
And oftentimes my experience has been, well, I don't have, you know, what Sally is dealing with
yeah.
or, wow, they have it so much harder. And
yeah.
so I tend to minimize. So I think I might encourage myself to not brush over it and not try to get away from it as much,
yeah.
but really, what does this mean?
Yeah.
And yes, it's going to be hard, but let's get, you know, our
yeah.
mad warrior CF killer
right
on.
yeah, yeah. Who was in your corner back then? Church, family, friends?
Yes.
All the above.
Great.
Each other.
Yeah. Yeah. We had great doctors, really supportive church family at the
yeah.
time in Colorado.
Good.
And it was good.
Good. Good. Mm-hmm. Good.
And that's been a huge blessing with the insurance that Doug has always had through work. And that was something when Kurt was diagnosed. When I got pregnant with Jack, we didn't have insurance.
Yeah.
But I believe by the time Kurt was diagnosed, shortly before that, we got insurance because
nice.
Doug had been on the job that 3-month waiting
right.
period
okay.
or whatever. And so it really, through this whole thing, we've been very blessed to be
yeah.
able to afford the medications and get the treatments that we needed without a lot of craziness, because I know
yeah.
that is not the case for
no.
some people.
Yeah.
I know some people are really having to struggle, and I think there are a lot of resources now.
Mm.
A lot of the drug companies are chipping in with loyalty programs, and the CF Foundation is
yeah.
good at helping and stuff, but
good.
It's been a
yeah.
a good road that way.
Good, 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 good. How can we pray for you guys? You
always... Always for their health, you know.
Yeah.
Just,
yeah.
For a cure.
For a cure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And I think just that they will, you know, I want miracle healing.
Yeah.
That would be my first choice.
Yeah.
But if God chooses that they have to walk with this for a while, just that they'll be okay with it being part of who they are and really... do the things that are required
yeah.
and take hold and take charge and
yeah.
also maybe
manage
for like their, I don't think mental health is exactly the word, but kind of state of mind.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, I think as they grew up, there was a sense of this isn't fair kind of deal. And
yeah.
you know, it isn't, but life isn't always fair. But, you know, them not doing a treatment was maybe a little rebellious about life's fairness and stuff. But even stuff occurs now, and I think sometimes it defeats them a little bit. Obviously, they've done some pretty great things.
Yeah.
But little things, you know, like for Jack recently, you know, he's into aerospace engineering. He's into actually the aeronautic side of it, the airplane side. And,
yeah.
and one possibility... is that he has the opportunity to learn to fly and take that on a semester basis. You know,
wow.
for its own reasons, financially, it's a challenge that way. But he has used, and maybe legitimately so, but he doesn't really know his health as an excuse that he can't really do it. They wouldn't probably accept him. I don't think that's necessarily the case if he really wanted it and pursued it. I bet
yeah.
he could make that happen.
Yeah.
But... you know, he just kind of, nah, they wouldn't let me do that, you know, kind of thing. Anyway, and that's, I hate to see that. I want him to
yeah,
go for the gusto.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Kurt, you said he graduated UCLA?
Mm-hmm.
And is he?
Aerospace engineering.
He's a rocket scientist.
Yep.
That is brilliant.
He tests rocket engines for SpaceX in Texas.
Down in Texas with Mr. Musk.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
wonderful. That is wonderful.
Yeah.
And Jack
and he's married.
He's been married for a couple of years
now. 2 years.
That is
yesterday,
so awesome.
Or 2 days ago.
Happy anniversary, guys.
Yep. yep.
And then Jack finished his first year at college.
Right.
Yep.
That is so good. Thank you guys so much.
Thanks for asking.
Yeah. Anything else?
Probably, but you know.
we can do a PS later if you need to. We'll see you guys.
Thanks.
Bye.
Man, I love those two. Thank you guys so much. Again, we're going to go ahead and pray for the Zimmermans, and we're going to specifically pray for Kurt and for Jack. Dear God, thank you so much for the Zimmerman family. Thank you for Doug and Diane. Thank you for Kurt, Mark, Luke, and Jack. Father, we lift up Kurt and Jack right now, Father, as CF brothers. God, we pray for their health. God, just surround them with protection. Surround them with good health, Father. Keep them free from bacteria, free from infections. God, we've been asking this all month long, and we ask it all the more today. Please provide a cure for cystic fibrosis, Father. Please let CF stand for cure found. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask for a cure. God, until that time comes, just please give Kurt and Jack the grace to do what is required, Father, to be faithful in their treatments and to be disciplined, Father, even when it seems like, even when they feel healthy, Father. And God, give them the state of mind that is positive, that is not discouraged, that is empowered. Father, give them the healthiest state of mind possible. Thank you so much for Kurt and for Jack, Father. Thank you so much for these brothers. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It will interest you to know that since conducting that interview with the Zimmermans, they have decided to have a Great Strides team, and I will put the link below right here on the blog post and on the description for the podcast. So you can click there and you can contribute $1, $10, $100, or $1,000, or any amount in between towards the team. And I think this came up in the interview maybe with the McBees or with the Shrums. But anyways, the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation, they're the ones that do Great Strides. And what is so good about that company as a nonprofit is they take 90 cents of every dollar raised and send it right towards research and development for cystic for a cure or and for a treatment for cystic fibrosis. So that's why you've never seen commercials for them on television and that sort of thing. So feel free to give what you are willing to give, and I thank you in advance. Please like and share this podcast with others, because obviously it's about way more than the poetry. And thank you so much to the Zimmermans, the McBees, the Shrums, the Nichols, the Morans, and the Skaggs. Thank you so much for sharing your stories, sharing your lives, sharing yourselves. We will see you all very soon. Have a great week.
Yes, it's going to be hard, but let's get, you know, our mad warrior CF killer
right
on.
Yeah, yeah.